Masechet Eduyot Perek Zayin, Mishnah Zayin. We mentioned Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Papias. Here we'll mention four more testimonies that they brought down. Two of them will be talking about Tuma and Tahara, and two of them about a leap year. Mishnah says, Hem ha'idu al aruchot shel nachtomim, shehen teme'ot. These two rabbis testified about the wooden boards that professional bakers would use when putting down the unbaked loaves of bread onto them before they went into the oven, that they could become tameh, even though on a deoraita level, boards that are flat cannot become tameh. You have to have a container or a bet kibul that would hold something. That's the only way something could become tameh. The rabbis decreed with professional bakers that they could become tameh because they look like kelim. So therefore, they could become tameh. And this whole teaching was to undo Rabbi Eliezer. Should Rabbi Eliezer met the head? Because Rabbi Eliezer said that the boards are pure, they cannot become tameh. A second testimony about Tum'ah and Tahara. Hem ha'idu al tanur shehatacho chulyot v'natan chol ben chulya lehulya. They testified about an oven, an earthenware oven, that was cut into rings, cut horizontally, and then it was reassembled by putting the pieces on top of each other, but not directly on top of each other, but they put sand in between each piece, and then they covered the entire oven with clay so that it would stay hotter. Shehu tameh, that the oven now is able to become tameh. When an oven is all attached, the only way to purify it is by taking it apart. So here, they put it back together, but they put it back together where the sections weren't connecting directly, but there was something in between them. One would think that maybe they're not, that doesn't have the ability to be a utensil anymore since something is separating them. That's sand in between each part. So no matter what, it cannot become tameh. Haidush here is, they say the oven could become tameh because even though there's something of sand in between each layer, the outer layer of clay connects the entire oven, and therefore it's considered to be one entity, and it could become tameh because it's now a keli again. And the whole point in teaching us this was should Rabbi Eliezer met the head, because Rabbi Eliezer said that this type of oven cannot become tameh since there's sand between all of the pieces, they're not considered to be connected, and the oven is not complete. This is the famous machloket of Tanur Shel Achnai, where Rabbi Eliezer brought all different proofs that the oven stays tahor, that the oven cannot become tameh. But the rabbis disagreed, and the rabbis didn't accept his opinion. Rabbi Eliezer then brought miracle after miracle to show that Kilapeshmaya, that in the heavenly realm, God agrees with him. And finally, Rabbi Yehoshua, when a bat call came out saying that Rabbi Eliezer was correct in all of his halachic teachings, Rabbi Yehoshua said, doesn't matter. Famously, Lo Bashamayim Hi. The Torah is not in the heavens anymore. God doesn't have the ability to make the decisions. He gave over that decision-making power to the Hachamim, and the rabbis held that it can become Tameh, and therefore that is the correct answer. That's the famous case that applies over here. The next two testimonies will be talking about the Jewish leap year. Every few years, the rabbis would add an extra month to the calendar, making that year 13 months long, a double Adar, a second Adar, was added. In times of the Mishnah, the Sanhedrin would decide whether each year should be a leap year or not. Here the testimony is going to talk about how late into the year do the Hachamim make this decision. Hem he'idu she'me'abirin et hashana b'kol Adar. They testify, these two rabbis, that you're allowed to extend the year, make it a leap year with the second Adar, any time during that first Adar, the last month of the year, was something they could do that entire month. If they decided that it was necessary, they would add it even in the month of Adar. And this whole idea was important to teach, Shehayu Omrim Ad HaPurim, because here we have to teach this teaching that it can go the entire Adar, because the rabbis used to say that the leap year could only be declared until Purim, which was on the 14th of Adar, that there has to be a little bit of a buffer. Only up till Purim could they declare that there will be another month at the end of that Adar. And the machloket here was the rabbis were very concerned that we know there's a halakha that Shiloshim Yom Kodem Ahag, 30 days before the holiday of Pesach starts, we talk about the laws of Pesach. So when Purim hits, the rabbis are going to start talking about all the laws, and when they're doing that, it's inevitable they're going to talk about the date of Purim, and they'll say, a month from now, from today, will be the time of Purim. And if the rabbis decided after that to change it and add an extra Adar, and they'll send messengers to the Gola, to the diaspora, to tell people that we added an extra month and that Pesach will be in 2 months from now, people are going to have that conflict. They're not going to trust what they're hearing from the messengers. They're going to think that what they heard from their rabbi in the lectures about the holiday are correct, and that Purim is actually, Pesach is actually 30 days after Purim. And on that date, they're going to observe Purim, Pesach, but it's not going to be the right date. It's not actually going to be Pesach. So therefore, on that date, they're going to be doing a holiday that's wrong. And when the real Pesach is there, a month after that, they're not going to be observing. So to prevent all this from happening, Hachamim said that a leap year could only be declared until the time of Purim. But according to the Rabbi Yehoshua and the Rabbi Papias, there's no concern over here. People know that when dealing with calendar, there's very delicate and complicated calculations dealing with the stars and dealing with the Jewish calendar. So when people who are messengers arrive after Purim to tell them, by the way, a leap year was declared, we're adding an extra month of Adar, they're going to believe the messengers. They know that the court has to do with due diligence. There's a lot of work that goes into deciding to add a month or not, and therefore they'll anticipate that happening, and they won't dismiss the words of the messengers. The leap year could only happen with the approval of the Nasi. The Nasi is the president, the director of the Sanhedrin. Here we'll talk about what's done if the Sanhedrin wants to add a leap year, but the Nasi is not available to consult with. They testified, these two rabbis, that we're allowed to add a month to create a leap year conditionally. That means if the Nasi is not around, the court could declare the year a leap year on the condition that the Nasi eventually agrees. Rabban Gamliel, who wants a story with Rabban Gamliel, Shehalachli told Reshut Mehegmon Besuria Veshaha Lavo. He went to request some permission from the governor in Syria about something for the community that he was doing, and he didn't get back in time. Ve'ibirut Hashana al Tenai lekeshiyirtze Rabban Gamliel. In the meantime, the rabbis wanted to add a leap year, they wanted to add another month. So they did it on the condition that Rabban Gamliel would later agree. When he came back, he agreed. He said, yes. And it came out that the year was extended, an extra month was added to the calendar.